Welcome to Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. There's a great Christian movie out now called Polycarp, and it deals with the great second century church leader of Smyrna, which is in what is now Turkey. Jerry Henlein is the executive producer of the movie, and polycarpmovie.com, I believe, is the website. Jerry, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Jerry. Good to be with you.
Sure. Okay, tell us about this film, Polycarp.
Well, there's a lot to tell. As you've given it a good introduction, a lot of people are not familiar with Polycarp, unless they've been to Bible college. But the story of his is quite compelling. He was discipled by the Apostle John, so he has a very direct connection with those the apostles, and represents that first generation of believers after the apostles for which the gospel was handed off to. So a very critical time period in our Christian history, and Polycarp has quite the testimony of standing for Christ.
Mm-hmm. And at the end of his life, he dies as a martyr.
It's a full feature-length film, mm-hmm. and the screenplay was written by my daughter, Jerrica, and she tells the story of Polycarp through the eyes of a 12-year-old girl, which is obviously a fictitious character, but there are some characters that are real, such as beyond Polycarp. We also see the story of Germanicus, who was a teenage boy who was martyred about a week prior to Polycarp, and we see a bit of his story in the film, as well as we see Irenaeus, another early church leader, briefly as well. But otherwise, most of the other characters are fictitious, and again, told through the eyes of a 12-year-old girl.
Okay,
which gives it a very heartwarming and endearing approach to telling an otherwise very difficult story.
Okay, tell us about the origin of this film.
Well, the idea originally came as I was meeting with a pastor friend of mine who had done the research on the early church leaders, teaching his church about that, and he had written a series of articles that included Clement and Irenaeus and Ignatius and Justin Martyr and, of course, Polycarp. And in that article that he wrote about Polycarp was this story of Germanicus. And I knew that my daughter was looking for something to do their next movie on. They had previously done a short film on titled The Forgotten Martyr, Lady Jane Grey, who was a 16-year-old who gave her life for the cause of Christ in the mid-1500s. And so I knew that the story about Germanicus would intrigue her and might be interested in doing a screenplay on that. And sure enough, she read that and she said, yeah, Dad, this needs to be on film. And so that was kind of the seed that planted. And my friend went on to write a novel, which he had been desiring to do. And he kind of took the story in one direction, and very realistic in terms of the blood and the gore, but of course that wasn't going to play out for a family-friendly film on screen, so Jerrica took it in a different direction by creating the character of Anna and the adoptive mother of Anna, Melina, and bringing the feminine touch to the story. But we really see the last days of Polycarp's life, and those things are true both in the novel and in the film, where it overlaps the historical accuracies of the time period.
Hmm. And I understand that Polycarp had the opportunity to flee from Smyrna when the opposition was there, but he chose not to.
Well, initially he did because of the, it was really the congregation there, the believers there were trying to protect him, and they just revered him so highly that, of course, they were trying to protect him. And he initially hid. But then, you know, as he began to see the persecution continuing, and he really felt like it was time that he needed to take his stand. So when he went to what is referred to as the second hiding place, he already knew that they were coming to get him, and he intended to allow them to take him at that point in time. But initially, he did hide under the just the persuasion of the believers there in Smyrna.
Mm-hmm. And tell us about what he actually said when he was just about to be killed, just about to be martyred.
Well, the story is that at his trial, as he stands before the proconsul, and he's given the opportunity to renounce his faith and to pay tribute to, and worship Caesar. He, and I'm paraphrasing, but he says, these 86 years have I served my Lord, and he's never done me any harm. How can I blaspheme my Savior and my God? Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much the famous line that he is noted for. Just a very, I mean, I get goosebumps just saying that, and it's very, very touching part of the story near the end of the film.
And also the death of Germanicus, who you said was a teenage martyr who died 1 week before Polycarp died. Again, we're talking about in the second century, what was it, 156 A.D., something like that?
By some accounts, it was 156. There's some controversy as to whether it was exactly that year or a few years later.
Right.
But, that was the time frame that we chose to use from the historical research.
Talk a little bit about what happened after Germanicus died in terms of what Polycarp said.
Well, it's again another heart-wrenching part of the story. Germanicus, by all in. Pretty much is being used as an example by the proconsul, trying to persuade the Christians to yield to the demand to worship Caesar. And so initially when he's confronted, Germanicus ends up running. Well, it's a challenging part for him because initially, earlier in the story, he's kind of boastful about how he would respond to the persecution. And of course then when he's faced with it, he ends up running. And then he feels very ashamed about that, and then Polycarp comforts him, and ultimately when he is faced with the proconsul the second time, this time he doesn't run, and he's given a death sentence. And so, of course, Anna feels like it's her fault because she was trying to make things right in her own little world, how she thought she could make things right, and tried to encourage him to speak to the Germanicus, that is, to speak to the proconsul, and when he refused to do that, she tried to step in and speak to him, and it was at that point in time that he's apprehended, and so she feels like it's her fault mm-hmm. that Germanicus is now dead after Polycarp comes to console her, and basically he tells her that, you know, Germanicus didn't have his life taken from him, that he gave it. And he actually ran towards the lions in the arena. We don't see that, but it's implied. And then Polycarp reinforces that when he tells Anna what occurred in the arena. And that's a historical accuracy that, as far as we know.
Mm-hmm.
And he basically tells Anna that, you know, you really never know what you're willing to live for until you know what you're willing to die for. And mm-hmm. And again, that's another line from the film that just resonates with putting things into perspective, especially with the persecution that we're seeing in the world today.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask you as far as, you know, when was this film in production or when did the story first get written? I mean, as a screenplay, that is. Because, you know, ISIS is putting persecution of the Christians, you know, on page one. I mean, even in some secular news outlets, it's amazing.
Oh, yes. Well, I mean, we'd never heard of ISIS when this project started, of course. It's been about 3 years in the making.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It
takes time.
At this time. I'm sorry?
It takes time to make films and so forth. So, like you say, ISIS wasn't even in the news. You didn't even know it. Maybe didn't even exist. I don't know. Amazing.
Not at all. I mean, this has been God is just really... Jerry, I could go on and on for hours about the different things that God has put in place revolving around this film and the efforts that have gone into it and the side stories. And it's been pretty amazing. But it was about 2 years ago... Today, we were actually on set 2 years ago today.
Where was that set?
The set was actually in a warehouse of a business, my business, and we were actually able to film from like 3 o'clock in the afternoon till 3 o'clock in the morning, off shift from when the employees were normally working in the business. So we used an empty warehouse to actually build about 30 sets.
Wow.
And they were built in such a way that they could move the walls and redress it to where they would you know, the villa would look, there was three different villas, but it was basically all the same area.
Huh.
So it was very creative in how the production designer designed the set to make so many usable rooms for the shooting of the film.
Was that in the state of Indiana?
Actually, in the state of Ohio, just outside Cincinnati.
Oh, okay. Wow, interesting. Because one wouldn't have known that. I mean, you could have thought it was on location. Not sure what that location would be. But now, how did you get the arena? It's you know, there are scenes where people are in the arena. There's even a gladiator fight and so forth. How did you do that? That wasn't in the warehouse.
Interesting. The actual principal photography took place for about 3.5 weeks in the late July, early August, 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe, my son, who is the director, pretty much in the family and their circle of friends. They're the filmmakers.
Yeah.
They're the creative ones. I'm just trying to help them. When he strung everything together, and then began to edit it down with the help of J.C. Burnett, John Clay Burnett, a friend of his that was our editor, and they began to crunch it down. They had the rough cut, and they sent that out to several people for feedback. And as they found, took that feedback and realized there was some gaps and weak areas and some things that maybe we were too familiar with, that somebody who wasn't as familiar with maybe a particular scene didn't seem to fit or didn't make sense. So then we came back in April of the following year and actually did some pickups, about a week of pickup shooting, 4 or 5 days. And most of that was in green screening. And so the gladiator fight that you see early
screen
in the film,
okay,
Is actually carried out in front of a green screen.
Right.
And then the arena is built in post-production through visual effects.
Sure, I see. Okay. All right, we're almost out of time. What are ways that people could get, you know, information on how to see this movie or how to rent it or, you know, what's your distribution plan?
Okay. Well, right now it's available on several different sites online. They can get it at Amazon. Of course, they can get it at polycarpmovie.com. There's a link there for a store.
And Polycarp
is
spelled...
One of the interesting things, Jerry, is about the DVD, yeah, is that there is about 85 minutes of special features, which shows how they did the arena scene. And so it covers pre-production, production, and post-production. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like a documentary of how the film was made. So they'll find that interesting. We're offering to churches to do a screening on a love offering basis, and there's a churches tab at the website that they can go there, a very simple form they can fill out to register for in lieu of a public performance license.
Sure. And
that's pretty much the distribution. The only place we will have video on demand and downloadable version on our website probably within about a month.
Yeah.
Currently, the only place it's available for video on demand would be at ChristianCinema.com.
Okay. Huh. And the way to spell Polycarp is P-O-L-Y-C-A-R-P. So again, recapping our top story, Polycarp is a man who lived at the end of the first century and the first half of the second century. He died as a martyr. He was a direct disciple of John the Apostle. And this film, Polycarp, polycarpmovie.com, shows his life and his death. How about a concluding thought, maybe 20 to 30 seconds on Polycarp the movie?
It is just a compelling story. It's a message that the church needs to hear, especially with what we're reading in the news today.
Mm-hmm.
This is a timeless film. If you see it 10 years from now, it's going to be just as timely as it is today. And I would just really encourage for the church to see this film. Ken Ham says it's a film that it's a must-see by every Christian.
Mm, okay. Hey, thank you so much, Jerry Henlein, for being with us. God bless.
Thank you, Jerry.